You need a breakthrough today? Have you been in one of those times of the valley? Most of us have those sometime or another. Those difficult times where things don't seem to go the way we had hoped, and when it seems as if our prayers aren't even getting through. We found ourselves in the valley. And we wonder sometimes where God is in the midst of that, don't we? We have those dark times where it seems as if, God, where are you? Kind of like we hit a wall. And how do you persevere in those times? How do you keep faith in those times? How do you walk through those dark times in your life? And Jeremiah the prophet experienced that in his own life. He had some dark valleys that he walked through, some testing times in his journey. Now, just to kind of give you a little history, Jeremiah was the son of the high priest Hilkiah. Some of you may remember hearing that name on the last Sunday of June, because Hilkiah was the priest who found the lost book of the law during the renovation of the temple under King Josiah. And they started not only a renovation physically, but a revival spiritually, as Josiah led the people to commit again to the law of the Lord. And it was during that time that Jeremiah experienced his call to be a prophet. That was the fun time, you could say. The good time for Jeremiah. Because he served for the next four kings as well. And they weren't anything like Josiah. But rather more like his grandfather, who turned to pagan worship, who opened the temple for pagan idols. That's the journey that began for the Hebrew people. And Jeremiah was called to be a prophet during their journey as well. So he hit some difficult times where he wondered where God was. And out of that comes some lessons for us, because he really needed faith lifts in the journey of his life. Let's turn to Jeremiah, the first chapter, where we read of Jeremiah's call, beginning with verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. You hear that? I'm only a boy. Do you remember how old Josiah, who was the king when Jeremiah was called, was when he went to the throne? He was only a child. He was 8 years of age. Now God calls during that same time frame another one who says, I'm just a boy. Not exactly certain the age that Jeremiah was at that time. But you hear sometimes that the children and youth are the church of the future. Well, God obviously knew there are times when they're the presence today. Because of their faith, they often need to lead us. And that's where Jeremiah was. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm only a boy. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. And you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Now, here's the first of some lessons that I learned from Jeremiah about persevering in the difficult time. Pressing on when it seems as if even our prayers aren't being heard. Here's the first one. When the way gets tough, remember the God who called you is with you. When the way gets tough, Remember the God who called you is with you. Jeremiah was reminded that God knew him from the very beginning, even in his mother's womb. God had a plan for his life. He developed him according to that plan and purpose for his life. And he promised him, verse 8, I promise to be with you and keep you safe, so don't be afraid. When Jeremiah was discouraged, God reminded him of his call and reminded him of his promise. Now, it is true that most of us are not likely to receive a call quite like Jeremiah's. But you need to understand that God formed you as well. He formed you for the plan for you of His life for you. He formed you by design. It may be designed you to be a teacher. He formed you and equipped you. It may be to be a business owner. He formed you and equipped you. Or a faithful employee. Or at the preparation stage, a student. To be formed. But notice what God said. Jeremiah, not only did I form you, but I promised to be with you and keep you safe. And that's His promise to us. When we walk with Him, when we commit ourselves to Him, He promises to walk with us in the journey of our lives as well. We see this promise made over and over and over in Scripture. Remember Joshua? He was the one God called to lead the people into the promised land. He followed Moses. And God said to Joshua, I will always be with you and help you as I helped Moses. And no one will ever be able to defeat you. You're not going to come up with anything that can defeat you. Trust. David, the man after God's own heart, had his struggles in the battle of life and faith. But in it, that great psalm that we often turn to for comfort, he shares how the shepherd shepherded him. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. That was his strength. Even in the dark valleys. And we all face dark valleys, don't we? God is with us in the midst of it. And then comes this great promise from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. Notice that word always. Not just in the good time, not just when you show up and worship, but always in the chaotic time, in the chaos of your life, in the darkness of your life, in the despair of your life, when things don't seem to be going your way. I'm still there in the midst of it, and I am your strength. So Jeremiah is reminded of God, the tough times. Remember, I called you and I'm with you. And I will never forsake that promise. But there's another lesson we learned from Jeremiah. Might be stated this way. When the way gets tough, remember that God will hear our honest prayer. That God will hear our honest prayers. We jump ahead a few years in his life. And now Jeremiah is witnessing the nation turning from God. Josiah has since died. And the nation has forgotten that book of law. And they've even begun to open up to pagan worship again. And in the Valley of Hinnom, they're offering sacrifices, human sacrifices to pagan gods. And Jeremiah is instructed by God to go buy a clay pitcher. and to take it with the elders and the priest into that valley where the human sacrifices are taking place. And there in that valley in front of them all to throw it down so that it shatters. And to announce, that's what's fixing to happen to you, thus says the Lord. Because you have not been faithful. And then he leaves the valley with the elders and the priest and returns to the temple. And there in the temple in front of them and the others that are gathered there to pray, he says in chapter 19, verse 15, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I am now bringing upon this city and upon all its towns all the disaster that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks, refusing to hear my words. Wow. Some tough words, aren't they? I'm going to destroy this nation because your stiff-necked lives. And the people didn't receive that very well. You know, it's kind of like our nation right now. We don't want to receive the Word of God very well anymore. We don't want to talk about there's consequences for sin anymore. We want church to be just a feel-good experience, but doesn't call us to repent and turn from our sinfulness. That's where they were. And what did they do? They arrested Jeremiah. They put him in chains. And as you move into chapter 20, you hear Jeremiah's plead with God. It starts out in verse 7. You tricked me, Lord, and I was really fooled. Do you hear what he's saying? God, I announced your word. I did what you said. You tricked me. I'm in prison. They're not suffering. I'm the one suffering. What are you doing? Verse 8. I tell the people about the message I received from the Lord, but this only brings me insults. The people make fun of me all day long. And then it reaches this point in verse 14. Let there be a curse on the day I was born. Let there be no blessing on the day when my mother gave birth to me. Now he's in desperate straits, isn't he? God, it's terrible. Just don't have any blessing. It's not a day of celebration when I was born any longer. He had feeling forsaken. You know, he's not the only one of God's servants who have felt that way. To be honest, I imagine most of us, if we've tried to walk with God, have had those times where we wondered where God is. As I was reading some of the passages for today, I remembered the story of a nun in Europe who served in a monastery and had gone into the village close by to get some supplies, and she was returning, but before she returned home there was a big rainstorm, kind of like some of what we've had around, and the creek that she's supposed to cross over is now flooded and water's going real fast. She starts across on her donkey, and she's swept off of the donkey. She finally makes her way to the other side. She's exhausted. She lays back and looks up and says, God, if this is the way you treat those who try to serve you, no wonder there are so few of us. Many of us have been there. Even trying to walk with God, sometimes we wonder, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Yes, Moses said that. You remember in Numbers 11? If this is the way you're going to treat me, just kill me now and end my miserable life. God, just get rid of me. Elijah, I've had enough. Just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors, and even King David. My God, why have you deserted me? Why are you far away? Won't you listen to my groans and come to my rescue? I cry out day and night, but you don't answer. And I can never rest. You see, if you've walked with God very long, you discover that that doesn't exempt you from life's struggles. There still comes the battles with life in the midst of it. But I received a spiritual insight on these cries from an author who wrote, rather than indicating a spiritual deficiency, these prayers appear to be a sign of spiritual health. What? Crying out, "Where are you, God?" Crying out, "My birthday ought to be despised. You might as well just let me die. Those don't seem like spiritual health." But yet, think about it. These are people who love God and walk with God. And where did they know they could turn in the midst of the despair and brokenness? They're in conversation with their God. God isn't just a being up there. There's a relationship of honest prayer and conversation. It says to me that in the struggles, when we don't know where God is, where we're wondering where He is and what's going to happen, I can still talk to God because of this relationship that I have and know that He's listening and He'll be faithful. Do you have that kind of relationship? That whatever's going in your life, you can talk with God because you know you have His ears and you can pray honestly. He can take your, "God, why this? God, why didn't you do this?" He can take that from you, and He's going to guide you through it. Which brings me to one last lesson. When the way gets tough, remember God's faithfulness. When the way gets tough, remember God's faithfulness. We jump over now to chapter 31. And what Jeremiah was prophesying is now coming a reality. The country's fallen. The Babylonians are about to seize the city of Jerusalem. And God uses Jeremiah by first teaching Jeremiah a lesson. He says, "Go buy some land." Now, did you hear what was happening? The nation has fallen. The city is about to be overrun. They're about to lose their nation. And God says to Jeremiah, "Buy some property." Doesn't sound like the time you buy property, does it? And God explains it in verses 42 through 44. "Even though I have brought disaster on the people, I will someday do all these good things for them. Jeremiah, when you bought the field, you showed that fields will someday be bought and sold again. You say that this land has been conquered by the Babylonians and has become a desert, emptied of people and animals. But someday people will again spend their silver to buy fields everywhere in the territory of Benjamin, the region around Jerusalem and all the towns of Judah. And in the hill country, the foothills to the west, and the southern desert. Buyers and sellers and witnesses will sign and seal the bills of sale for the fields. It will happen because I will give this land back to my people. I, the Lord, have spoken." God says, even in the great disaster, you can count on me. What I promised will come true. You can stand on my promises even when it seems like everything is going the wrong way. Earlier in this chapter, God said, verse 27, "See, I am the Lord God, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Maybe that's the key lesson. That regardless of how difficult it seems, regardless of what you're facing in your life, is anything too hard for your God? Is the struggle you're having with wayward children too hard for your God? Is the struggle that you're having financially too hard for your God? Is the health battle that you're contending with too hard for your God? You see, Jeremiah was told nothing is too hard for our God. And that's the word of Scripture for us today. Remember Mary? God called this peasant girl to be the physical mother of the Messiah, Jesus, our Savior. And she said, "How can this be? I'm just a virgin." And the angel said, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Jesus later said, "What is impossible for mortals is possible with God." Jeremiah was learning that lesson. And he shared about that lesson in Lamentations, which is also of his ministry in the Bible. And in Lamentations 3, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Have you come to that point in your life that regardless of what the struggle is, you know He's faithful? That His steadfast love endureth forever. That's the hope of the gospel, friends. That the one who has redeemed us in Jesus is always with us, regardless of what's coming our way. And nothing's impossible. We're in this race of life, and there's going to be those times when it gets tough and we have to persevere. And in those times, I remind you of one last passage. In Hebrews 12, "Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." There comes a time, like a marathon runner or cross-country runner, where you kind of hit a wall. You have to press on, persevere. That's the image that I get out of Hebrews. And how do we do it? By keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so to help you do that today, we have a gift for you. It's a pocket cross. And as you go out, there's baskets on either side of the doorway where you can pick one up. Take it with you, put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, put it on your desk at work, put it in your prayer place, wherever you need to put it to remind you that the one who's redeemed you will never let you go. Paul said there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in life and not even death itself. Yes, we all have those times where we need breakthroughs, where we're wondering where God is. We need a true faith lift. Jeremiah had those times, and the lessons we learned for him are lessons that are still real today. God's faithful. And He still hears us praying in the storms. Let us pray. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness, Your amazing love and grace. We thank You that whatever comes our way, God, You can handle. And even in those times where we're wondering, God, where are You? Quite often, You're laying roads for us that we could never imagine. You're preparing doors for us to enter that we couldn't even think of in Your faithfulness and love. So, God, we praise You and worship You. And we want to give our lives and trust to You as our deliverer and as our strength. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.